Amen. Thank you, young people, for your testimonies, even the thank yous. You know, I shared with you that it's not the first time we have come across some of our youth that are in full-time, that are in the ministry, and I shared with you Cody Samford. I saw at youth camp was in our youth department in Faith Baptist Church in Aransas Pass. And he's the youth pastor at Central Baptist Church in Denton now, and came up to me and we were talking. He said, I was just telling my wife that I used to come here as a teenager with Faith Baptist Church years ago when I was a teenager. And now he is a youth pastor, and I'm thinking, these youth coming up, you don't know that one of these youth one day will be a pastor, a pastor's wife, or youth pastor. I probably won't see that, because if I see them another 20 years, I'd be 83. And more than likely, if the Lord tarries, I won't be at youth camp at 83 years old. And so I probably won't see them. But you don't know. I never expected to see Cody. I hadn't even thought of Cody in many, many, many years. But there he was. I said, I'm the youth pastor at Central Baptist Church in Denton, Texas. And that's a blessing. Reminds me, we were in Luders at youth camp many years ago with Faith Baptist, and two girls there came up to us and said the same thing. Brother Boatman, do you recognize us? And of course I did not, because they were that tall. My wife's doing like this when we last saw them, and they were part of our bus ministry in Snyder. When we drove the bus and picked them up, we started picking with three sisters, right? Three of the sisters up. Well, Mom and Dad ended up getting saved too. He was manager of the Piggly Wiggly supermarket there. But now both of them are in the ministry, and they were working with the youth, and they're as part of the staff at the youth camp. And I thought, what a blessing. They got saved because we knocked on their door and started picking them up on the bus. Their parents got saved, and now they're in the ministry. And that's a blessing when you see that. Your efforts pay off. And you never know where. I never expected to see Cody Samford at youth camp as a man with his family as youth pastor. But he was part of our youth department at Faith Baptist Church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. There's about three sermons that I like to preach at least once or twice a year. One of them is discernment. The other one is tongues. And the other one is about the Bible. In fact, we're going to have that lesson again on the King James Bible and show the video that I've shown a couple times that is very, very explanatory on the why we use only the King James. And you know, kind of that a little bit of that ties in with this message tonight on discernment, which is very necessary. You know, I come to realize I used to think people were just stupid, because it only takes common sense to see the error of English Bibles, English things that call themselves Bibles that aren't in agreement with the manuscripts, and they have up to 200 verses missing. In fact, a preacher in Florida wrote a book, Things Are Different, That Are Different Are Not the Same. You say, well, a one-year-old child may not be able to express verbally that things are different or not the same, but they know things that are different are not the same. So I used to think some people just have to be stupid to not see that they're different and things that are different are not the same. And if one book says one thing and another says another, one of them has to be right and one has to be wrong. But you know, it's not that they're stupid. It boils down to this, but it boils down to this in everything with God's Word. People do not want to accept the truth. They know the truth, but they won't accept it. And they don't want to accept it. So they just run from it. Or they just stay away from it. That's kind of what discernment is, teaches us. But by the way, you will never have biblical discernment if you are one of these people that are not willing to accept truth. And the truth is, the only truth we have is God's Word. And the only truth we have in the English language is the King James Bible, because it has all the verses, not 200 of them missing, not changed to suit their own doctrines that have been changed, but just truth. There is no other truth apart from the Word of God. We either accept it or we do not. That's what salvation boils down to. You accept the truth that you're a lost sinner and you need a Savior, or you don't accept it. It's not complicated to understand. You can't say, well, some people don't understand it, some do. That's not it at all, unless they're little children and can't comprehend yet. It's simply the fact that you won't accept the truth, and that's what discernment is. It's a willingness to accept the truth, but you'll never be discerning if you're not willing to accept the truth of God's Word. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Let's stand as we read this one verse, because we're going to talk about discernment. I've talked about it twice, at least, since I have been here. We're going to talk about it tonight because it's necessary. It's one of those things, and if I'm here a whole lot longer, I'll be preaching it again. And I'll be preaching tongues again. I'll be emphasizing the King James Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Father, I come to you this evening. I pray that you bless our time together tonight as we open up the Word of God and just see what you have to say to us. Help us to be that person that is willing to accept the truth when we receive it, obey the truth, and stand up for the truth of God's Word. And if there be a lost one tonight, I pray for that one salvation, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. The importance of knowing the truth is emphasized throughout the Bible. To God, it is important that you accept the truth of the Word of God. One verse from each testament will do. Wisdom, the Bible says in Proverbs 4:7, is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all of your getting, get understanding. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, truth, like most valuable things, is not easily gotten. Nothing valuable is you come by easy. It's not. If it's worth having, you usually have to work for it. You know, it's a lesson learned with these charlatans today. You know, they send you emails. Hey, you got $1 million. All I need is your bank account, and I'll stick you $1 million in there. Now, if you're foolish enough to believe that, then you're just ripe for the picking. And I mean ripe. That's wanting something and believing something out of greed. But real truth is not easily gotten. The Bible says this: seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure. Proverbs 2:4. What makes truth so hard to come by is not the truth itself. It's not hopelessly complicated. Truth isn't mysterious. That's not the reason why. It's that we have some things working against us that hinder us from knowing the truth. All of us. Me, you. One is the devil, who is a liar from the beginning and the father of lies. He lies to you every day. He's lied to you today for some reason or another. For some matter or another. You say, no, he hasn't. Yeah, he really has. And by the way, the devil's good at what he does because we allow him to. You know why? Because the Bible says we'd rather believe a lie than the truth. So we have that working against us. We want to believe the lie. You know why? Because it makes us more comfortable. We don't want to believe, for instance, this is the Bible in the English language, because it's not popular and we're not comfortable with that because we may have to obey it. We're not comfortable with when the Bible says any truths. We're all men, ladies, dress modestly. We're abstained from evil. We're not to drink alcohol. We're to stay away from certain things. Well, we don't want to accept those truths because we're not comfortable with it. And we want to do those things. So we have that working against us. Another hindrance is the world. If Satan is the father of lies, that means his children lie, and often very cleverly. Many of his children pose as servants of Jesus Christ. Any preacher that gets up behind the pulpit and uses anything besides the King James Bible is lying to every person that he's talking to. He's lying to them. He's lying in the fact that he says, I'm going to preach from the Word of God. He is not. In the Dutch language, there's also one Bible. One version comes from the same original manuscripts that the King James and our English comes from. It's called the Statten Vertaling. So most languages have their liberal versions that have verses missing, not in there. And they have theirs authorized versions that come from the proper manuscripts. We didn't learn that until I started preaching in Dutch and learned the language. I didn't even know that because we didn't have any missionaries to work with. There weren't any. We were the first missionaries to start an independent Baptist church to the Dutch-speaking people of Belgium. There was nobody to draw upon. None. I learned by beginning to study in my Dutch Bible and learning that the same verses were missing as are missing out of the American Standard Version, out of the New Living Version, out of the, what's that most popular version? NIV, the NIV, non-inspired version. I began to realize those verses are missing. Sherry will tell you, when I found out, I got up out of my chair in my office, went downstairs and said, Sherry, we're using the wrong Bible. There's verses missing. And I began to research, come to realize, hey, there's a proper version and an improper. And I kind of was a little bit concerned because I taught our people, I had already started somewhat preaching out of that Bible, and that's what they were using. They didn't know. They never owned the Bible. They were all saved out of Catholicism. Every one of them we led to the Lord. I said, they're going to probably be mad. I don't kind of blame them. But you know what? They weren't. I explained to them. Do you know every one of them accepted the truth without hesitation? Every one of them threw their Bibles away and said, Preacher, where can we get the right one? That's all they said. They didn't say, well, why? We spent $50 on this Bible, preacher. You going to give me my money back? They didn't. They didn't get mad at me. They didn't chew me out. I apologized to them, said, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I didn't even know the language enough at the time to know that they were missing. Didn't know there were two Bibles. But I showed them. I said, I've made a mistake. I told them. I said, I'm sorry. I didn't know. It's my mistake. We've got to start using the proper version because this one doesn't even have all the verses in it. None of even hesitate. I mean, they didn't even hesitate. Let me tell you why. They wanted to know the truth. Every one of them. Every one of them wanted to know the truth. A third problem is ourselves. Let's face it, some truth is not very pleasant. Like the unsaved, we find ways to hold down the truth because of unrighteousness. And even when we don't do that, we're often too lazy and preoccupied to care. And when we do care, we have other things that we have to do, and they often leave us tired and too tired to read much, pray much, talk to God much, think very hard, so we just don't do it because we're lazy. We are our own enemies. And when it comes to knowing the truth, there are enemies within us and all around us. But thankfully, if God be for us, who can be against us? He, God, is for us. He, God, wants us to know the truth. And God will keep us in it for Christ's sake. And everybody that wants to walk in the truth and know the truth, He will give you the truth. If you want to know it. If you don't, you're not going to get it. But if you want to know the truth, He'll give it to you. Yet, though the victory is His, we have a part to play. The victory's God's, but we have a part to play. You know, I was talking to someone the other day about prayer. I said, listen, you just can't pray to God and say, help me do this, God, help me do that, and you don't do anything about it. Lord, help me not to watch those things on TV, but you turn it on and said, Lord, I asked you not to help me not to watch that, and you go there and turn it on. Why didn't you help me? You got to do your part. Lord, help my anger problem. Well, you got to do your part. When you start to get angry, you shut your mouth. You did your part. God helped you. He reminded you. But when you let your mouth keep running away from you, you don't do your part. God's reminding you, but you still don't do your part. You see, we have a part in all of this. We have a responsibility. How then can you and I become a discerning believer? Let's look at that. Number one, you want to know the truth. Beware of those things in you. Listen to me very carefully, because I'm talking to me. You want to know the truth? Beware of those things in you, because we all have them, that don't want to know the truth. All of us have a part of us we really don't want to know. We really do not want to know the truth. I remember some years back, Brother Danny and myself, a man in the last church, we knew that their teenage son, who went to our Christian school, was hanging with the wrong people and beginning to get in drugs. And I told Danny, I said, Danny, the parents didn't come to church. And he would come on the buses every now and then, this teenage boy. I said, Danny, I cannot sit by and not go tell them what their son is doing. I can't. I care about the boy too much. I don't want him to ruin his life. I'm hoping that they're not doing anything because they don't know. I said, Danny, would you go with me? I've got to go talk to the dad. I've got to go talk to him. So Danny and I went to the house and knocked on the door. The dad came to the door, told him who I was, and Danny there with me, and I began to tell him why I was there. He didn't want to believe me. He cussed me out and said he was going to do this to me and that to me. I said, you know, sir, you can do whatever you want. If you feel that you need to do that, he was going to tell me how he's going to beat me up and do all these things. I said, if you feel like that's what you need to do, you go ahead and do that, but I'm going to finish telling you what I have to tell you. Then after I tell you, if you want to do that, you go right ahead. And of course, he didn't. He just mouthed off. But you know what? He never did anything about it. That boy still hung around with those kids on drugs because I'd see him on the street, end up pulled him out of our Christian school, the only hope that he had. Let me tell you why. He didn't want to face the truth. Because if he had to face the truth, he had to do something about it. You know, being administrator of that Christian school of about 60 kids, I learned very quickly there's a lot of parents that do not want to know the truth because if they do, they have to do something about it. How many times, Miss Sherry, we see that? They don't want to know. Don't tell me. Because when they know the truth, that puts them on the spot to do something. So they don't want to face it. Seeing kids make themselves throw up and do those things, you try to tell the parents, do you not understand your child may have a problem? Oh, no, they just got a stomach ache. No, a child doesn't get up every meal and throw up and do those things. Something's wrong. And you try to warn them, they won't face it. I've been through that before. And I can name numerous things, and you try to tell kindly to parents, not bad way, but because you're concerned about the parents and the child. But you know what? They get mad. It's almost like, I don't want to hear, blah, 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 I can't hear you, blah, 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 I can't hear you. Because if they hear you, you know what's got to happen? They got to do something. Or look like parents that don't care if they don't do something. Do you know what? I found that to be with people in churches a lot. You show them the facts about the Bible, they don't want to do anything except it. Why? Because they don't want to know the truth. They don't obey the truth. So they just, I didn't hear you. Because we don't like it, we have a way of ignoring it or suppressing it or perverting it. A Christian woman once told me she was going to get married. I found a man. That sounds exciting, doesn't it? You're kind of happy for him until she tells me her fiancé is a lost person. A Buddhist. As gently as I possibly can, I referred to some verses that said she shouldn't do that. Her eyes welled up with tears and she said, some scriptures are hard to understand. Is she right? Absolutely not. There's nothing hard to understand about not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The Bible's very clear on that topic, isn't it? Unless you're in love with an unbeliever, then all of a sudden it becomes kind of murky. I don't know, preacher. Why? Because there's something in you that doesn't want to know the truth. So you ignore it. That's hard to understand, preacher. No, it's not. You just don't want to accept it. It's not hard to understand. It's as plain as day. God made it very clear. Here's a quote from a preacher. "Take heed lest there be any carnal interest or lust which makes you unwilling to receive the truth or inclines you to error that it may serve that interest or lust that you have." It's not, I didn't write this, by the way, another preacher that I know, I won't give the name. "It is no small number of men who are strangers to the truth, not because they cannot attain the knowledge of it, but because they would not have it to be truth. Find some young lady that falls in love with a lost man. They don't want it to be truth. Surely I'm the exception. Surely God doesn't mean me. Or some young man. Surely not me." Yes, you. "And men of great learning are frequently much deceived and led into error by a biased heart, either because the truth is unpopular or because it hinders them and their promotion in the world or because it's contrary to their fleshly lust or pleasures and the things they want to do." People don't like to hear the truth that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. In fact, some people get mad when you talk about you shouldn't be at a baseball field instead of the church house. Well, that's going a little bit too far, preacher. Well, take it up with God because He said it. I'm just quoting God. Take it up with Him. Truth is truth. You just don't accept it. I'm not talking about you in particular. I'm talking about people in general. The real hindrance to knowing the truth is not stupidity. Here it is. It's impurity of heart. Always, it's impurity of heart. The heart is not right. Our Lord once said, "If any man is willing to do His will, he will know the will of God." You know, it's like I've said before, my pastor, Brother Buck, and I think I shared it again in my Sunday school class during the lesson. He always told me, "Brother Chris, preach the Word of God. Just preach the Word of God. Flap to it like a fish. If you ever have any doubts, like that fish on the bank trying to get back to the water, flopping around. Most of us caught fish. You see that fish flopping." He said, "Be like that, but flop to the Word of God always. Preach the Word of God. Preach the truth. And if there are lost people in the church that you're pastoring and preaching to, they will get saved or they will eventually get out. If they're saved and their lives aren't right and they want to cause you problems, you just preach the Word of God." And he said, "Brother Chris, I'm going to tell you, I promise you, sooner or later, they'll get right or they'll get out. They'll go find some place where the preacher will tickle their ears and they can live comfortably in their sin and not be convicted about it." And you know what? I've been doing what he advised me to do for 30-something years now, and you know what? I found it to be true. It works. It may take them a few years, but they'll get out. They're not saved, they'll either get saved or get out because they can't stand the conviction. Or they'll get their lives right, or they'll eventually get out and go find some place where they'll feel comfortable setting under some, as one preacher used to call them, pencil-necked, yellow-backed preachers that will not stand up and preach the Word of God. I don't know where he got the pencil neck from, but he called them pencil-necked preachers. Huh? I didn't know. I never asked him, "What do you mean, preacher, by pencil-necked?" He had some reason he called them pencil-necked. I don't know. But anyway, the point was, they don't have enough courage to stand up and preach the Word of God. And let me tell you, if you're looking for that kind of church, you don't have to go far here in Clovis. Go find it. And you can sit there comfortable, live how you want to live, do what you want to do, and not one second will you ever be convicted. If that's what you're looking for. for they will not give you the truth. But you don't want the truth. Watch out for those biases in yourself and others. Hey, I've come across that. I've had to watch out for my own biases. Well, I don't want to do that, Lord. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be there. I don't want to do that. But the truth of the matter is, it's the will of God. And I have to accept the fact that's the truth of God's Word. We've all had to deal with ourselves. If you want to know the truth, really to know it, you've got to watch against those things in you that don't want to know it. That's number one. That's your worst enemy. And boy, how I've seen it time and time again in people in church. They start turning on the Word of God and the preacher. Let me tell you why. It really has nothing to do with the preacher. They lash out at the preacher. They may badmouth the preacher. But you know what it is? They're mad at the truth because they don't want to live by it. And so they get mad. And pretty soon they just stomp off, take their toys, and I'm gone. Number two, you want to know the truth? Study the Bible for holiness. How do you study the Bible and why? Study it for holiness, to be godly. This is a good advice for people who think true doctrine is important. It is important. If you don't have doctrine, you have nothing. And you better make sure it's right. And if you don't even have the King James Bible, you don't even have a Bible that backs up all the doctrine that we live by. But that wasn't done by accident. Satan took the doctrines out on purpose. It's important, but so that you do not become proud of your knowledge just to clobber people with it. And some people just want knowledge for knowledge's sake. That does you no good. I want to know the Word of God so I can show people how smart I am. No, you ought to want to know the knowledge of God's Word to help make you holy. True doctrine is designed to you know what true doctrine is designed for? To produce godliness. It's important. Every doctrine is designed to produce holiness. That means you've got to read the Bible with a desire to grow in grace. Here's another quote from a preacher. Seek after the truth for its special use as it forms the heart and life to the image and will of God, and not for the fanciful delight of knowing, much less for carnal worldly ends. Your physician will come to you if you seek him as a physician, but if you call him to mend your shoes, he will not come. So if you seek knowledge for the true ends of knowledge to fill your heart with love for God and guide your life in holiness, God is engaged to help you in the search. But if you seek it only to please your pride or fancy or impress people with your knowledge, you will miss it and God will not come to help you. He will not. No more than a doctor is going to come and repair your shoes. God will not come to help you gain knowledge so you can be proud and beat people over the head with it or just impress your own self. He's not going to do it. You read the Bible and get knowledge to be obedient to God and to grow in godliness. How often have you picked up your Bible not to love Christ more but to justify yourself or to condemn someone else or just to win an argument? Thirdly, you want to know the truth, listen to others, but don't follow them blindly. I tell you again, I told you 100 times, I told the folks in the church in Belgium 100 times, told the folks at Faith Baptist Church 100 times, prove everything I say by the Word of God. By the Word of God. By the way, that's your obligation. That it means you're to become a critic or critique and become one of those people that just for argument's sake wants to argue with people, but you ought to be thinking, is that true? Is that right? Let me tell you, when I hear a preacher preach, even if it's a guest preacher that comes here, even if I know them, I listen to every word to make sure everything they say is correct. And there has been one time that I had to get up behind someone that came to our church, not here, in Aransas Pass. My wife knows who I'm talking about. You think I found that pleasant? Man, I hated that. That guy got up and said some stuff, and I had to get up in front of our people, in front of him, and correct him. I could not leave it, because as the pastor, it's my responsibility. I'm sure he didn't like it, but I did, because he said something that was a terrible error. And as soon as he got through, in fact, I just about cut him short and got up and took the Bible and said, "This man is wrong. He has preached an error." And didn't do it to hurt his feelings. But as a pastor, I'm responsible for that. Cannot allow it to happen. And I didn't. I did not. But we're to question things from the Word of God. It must line up. The Bereans should set the standard for us. They received the Word, the Bible says, with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily to see if it was so. They gave Paul a fair hearing and checked what he said against the Bible. That's what you ought to do. Number four, you want to know the truth, but you become defensive. Let's say you've long believed in some doctrine that's been very precious to you. You've talked about it, debated it, grew up in it, defended it, but someone showed you from the Word of God that you're wrong. Be accepted. My mother's an example of that. Grew up all her life in a Pentecostal church. I mean, my grandmother had her there for every revival, every conference, everything that went on. They went there. She wasn't allowed to cut her hair, couldn't wear makeup. They wore long. I mean, they were what Assembly of God used to be. Assembly of God are not what Assembly of God used to be. Just like Southern Baptists are no longer what Baptists used to be. They're not. They're about as far from being a Baptist as the wall is. Well, Assembly of God's are nothing like Assembly of God's used to be. She was taught all her life, you can lose your salvation. Taught all of her life, you must speak in tongues. You can lose it. You can be saved one day and not the next. Let me tell you, I've given you her testimony. She finally got on her knees and prayed to God, "God, if everything I've been taught all my life is wrong, show me." But you know what? God showed her because of one thing. She was willing to accept it. Now, I'm just giving you the short version. Don't think she didn't struggle with it. It was a hard struggle for her because that's all she knew. But God began to show her the truth of God's Word. And she was willing to accept it. And because she was willing to accept it, God showed her. And she got saved. I mean, really saved. Studied the Word of God and had a peace about her, knowing that she had eternal life. There was no tongue speaking. That's totally anti-biblical. But most of us, you know what we do? We become defensive. "Well, I didn't grow up learning that." Well, you grew up learning the wrong thing. I've shared with you before, we have a whole generation of people now that have grown up in liberal Baptist churches that don't even know what the truth is anymore. And when they're hit with the truth, they don't want to accept it because it's not that they've been taught other things. They just have never heard it. They don't even know what the truth is. They can't accept it because they should have learned that many years ago in the Baptist church they grew up in, but they've never heard their preacher preach that before. Because they're not going to. You see, that's no way to learn the truth. As long as you're more concerned about being right than with knowing the truth, you'll never know it. You see, there has to be a time you stop defending yourself. And defending and looking at the Word of God. What is right? What is right? What a waste of time defending yourself over the Word of God because you don't accept the truth. Yet many of us do that because we love ourselves more than we love the truth. Number five, you want to know the truth? You've got to work hard and long at finding it. Take heed of all slothfulness. That means laziness. And impatience in searching after truth, and think not to find it in difficult cases without both hard and patient studies and rightness of understanding, and suspect all opinions which are the offspring of idleness and ease, whatever divine illumination they may pretend. Of course, that's not a Bible quote, that's a quote from another theologian. There is no substitute for hard, prolonged digging into God's Word. God commands it and promises to bless it. And at times, He'll give us understanding of both, but you have to be prepared to work. Work for it. But there are exceptions, not the rule. And we mustn't ask Him for things all the time while ignoring the means to acquire them. "Lord, give me knowledge. Lord, give me truth." Yet you're too lazy to get into God's Word and dig for it. You better be ready to dig for it and work for it. That's why when I first got saved, I talked about building a little, it was an entrance off the grotto. It was kind of like a little mud room. It was about from this piano to where the end of those ivies are to about right here, big enough to have a desk. I could walk in, sit down at the desk, and that's all the room there was. Just put a little desk in there. So I could get up early in the morning before I went off to the gas plant to work and study God's Word. And then when I come home and have supper, kids were in bed and have some time, my wife would usually go to bed, I'd stay up and I'd study the Word of God. Dig and dig. This I did every day. I worked hard because I knew nothing about God's Word, but I wanted to know God's Word. I wanted to know the truth. So I got in there a couple hours before I went to work. A couple of hours after, sometimes it'd be 3 o'clock in the morning and I'd realize that time had gotten away from me and I'd go try to get a couple hours sleep because I just would got into something and began digging and digging and digging. And I'm honest, I didn't even know what time it was. If you're going to know the truth and God's going to bless, are you willing to put the work in? It's work. If you want God to bless you with truth, be prepared to dig for it. That's like a gold miner going out and saying, I'm going to get rich with gold, but you go build you a camp, build you a fire, and you get your little cot there, and you hook up your TV with satellite TV, and you think, I'm going to get rich, but you sit there and lay there and watch TV all day. You're not going to get anything because you're not willing to work. Truth is like gold. And by the way, beware of sudden inspirations. The truth coming to you without study or prayer. They often hit us with great force, but most of the time they're wrong. Especially women. I've had women come to me, I just have a feeling, preacher. I have a feeling. That's right. Yeah, I get a feeling too when I stick my hand in the fire. It's hot. It sure hurt. Let me tell you, beware of feelings. Beware of you got some inspiration from God. Be careful, these TV preachers too, instead of getting all these inspirations apart from God's Word. There is nothing apart from God's Word, nothing. God gives no inspiration apart from the Word of God. One thing I'd like to add, if something is really important, study it first for yourself. Then ask for some help, someone that's knowledgeable and is going to tell you the truth out of God's Word. You come to me, I'm not ever going to be mean to you. But if you come to me like this woman did and said, I found a husband. By the way, that's happened to me here. When I first got here, I found a husband. I'm getting married. I said, oh, really? Where'd you meet him at? On the internet. Where are they from? Germany. Are they saved? Yeah, he says he's saved. I said, this is not of God. You better beware. You know what happened? Sent this person $60,000 because she was in love. Just knew. I just know this is right. Came to our house, called me. This is right. But said, this isn't right. Tried to as kindly as I could. This is not right. You're going to get yourself in trouble. She lost $60,000. Got on an airplane, flew to Georgia, Alabama, bought a wedding dress. He was going to meet her there, gave her the number of the house, got on the plane, took the wedding dress, knocked on the door. A lady with kids answers the door and she says, I'm here for so-and-so. I don't know that name. Yeah, I'm supposed to meet him here. We're getting married. I've got my wedding dress. Got off the plane, took a taxi there. Do you know the guy never existed? But she lost $60,000. Won't member this church. You try to tell people, listen, if you'll stick to the Word of God, these things won't happen to you. You try. I tried. My wife tried. We tried to help her. Wouldn't be helped. Oh no, this is right. I just know. I just feel it. I feel this is the right thing. I have a feeling. Took every penny she had in savings. $60,000, if I remember right. It could have even been more. Because they had a feeling. Folks, that's what feelings do. And I'm not saying that to be mean to this person. I'm saying that if they would have listened to the Word of God and the truth of God's Word, it would have protected her. If you will obey God's Word will protect you. And by the way, it will protect you from other people that will try to hurt your walk with God. Because when people get wrong with God, they don't like to get wrong by themselves. They like everybody to be wrong with them. So beware. What's more important, God and His Word and the truth, or yourself? Listen, I wept over that poor lady. I thought, how horrible. I can't imagine knocking on a door with your wedding dress and just have talked to her the day before and told her, you shouldn't do this. Don't do this. I didn't know until after the fact she had sent the guy $60,000. I knew she had bought a wedding dress and told me she was flying on the plane to go meet him. He's probably some guy in some country she never even heard of, that what he does, he goes down a list of women until he finds that one that's sucker enough to answer him. That's what they do. They fish. Just like you go fishing, they fish until they get a bite. And they get a sucker on the line. But that should never happen to a Christian man or woman if we'll listen to the Word of God. If we'll listen to God's Word, it'll protect us from these things. The truth. Ask the Lord to do for you what you cannot do, but don't ask Him to do for you what you're just too lazy or impatient to do. Lord, help me to know the truth, but you're too lazy to dig in God's Word. He's not going to help you. No more than if you get on the phone. If I call my cardiologist in Lubbock, Dr. Sharif, the heel's coming off my boot. Would you mind driving over here to Clovis and bring your cobbler tools and putting my heel back on the boots? It's a, are you gone crazy? What is the matter with you bothering me about your boots? He probably would say, and don't come to my office about your heart anymore either. If you're that crazy. God's going to look at you, hey, God, help me to know the truth. And you're too lazy to even open up God's Word and dig in it. He's not coming. If you want to know the truth from error, work at it and be willing to accept it. And then God will help you every step. Work at it and be willing to obey it and do what the truth says. Let's stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I come to you this evening and Lord, you don't overemphasize. It's all through your word, the importance of knowing the truth. How many problems could be avoided amongst God's people and God's churches if we would just learn to accept the Word of God and live by it and stop being so self-absorbed and involved in ourselves. We want our way so bad that we're willing to ignore the truth of God's Word and even argue with it. God help us. It's no wonder our churches have become ineffective. It's no wonder. Lord, I pray tonight, and I know this message has been to the saved, that there's one lost tonight, that one would be saved. And Lord, if there's one struggling with some truth, may they realize it is always for our best, and God has our well-being in mind when He's given us the truth to live by. Have your will in your way tonight in our lives. Help us to submit to you and your word and your truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You have to answer the question for yourself. Are you willing to accept the truth? Are you one of those that, hey, I don't want to know it. Don't tell me. Because if you tell me, then I've got